Mr. Chairman, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Joey Mahmood. I'm the Executive Vice President for Energy Transfer Partners. Over the course of the last 6 months, this project and our company have been subjected to a series of politically motivated actions by the previous administration, accompanied by a host of half-truths and misrepresentations in both social and mainstream media. Dakota Access is a $3.8 billion privately funded pipeline project which, during the course of construction, has employed more than 10,000 skilled workers and unskilled workers. During its entire 1,172-mile journey from North Dakota to Patoka, Illinois, it does not cross a single inch of tribal reservation or tribal trust land, and it only crosses 1,094 feet of federal land. During the greater two-and-a-half-year-long permitting process for the whole project, we and the Army Corps of Engineers reached out to and accommodated 55 different Native American tribes or groups. Of these tribes, the Standing Rock Tribe was the first tribe we actually approached and gave a presentation to in September of 2014. It was clear from their response they had no interest in discussing the project with us. In addition to our efforts, the Army Corps reached out to the tribe on 9 separate occasions. Despite these efforts, the Standing Rock declined to participate in any meaningful way. On July 25, 2016, the Army Corps brought to conclusion its 2-year-plus review of the project, issuing an environmental assessment, approving, among other things, our application for a crossing of the Missouri River at the current location as it sits today. After declining to participate in any meaningful consultation, the tribe, supported by Earth Justice, brought a legal action seeking to block the project. On September 9, 2016, a federal judge issued a 58-page opinion rejecting the tribe's request for a preliminary injunction and finding that the tribe largely refused to engage in consultation. However, within minutes of the judge's ruling, the Department of Justice, Interior, and Army issued a joint statement indicating that, notwithstanding their successful defense of the permitting process in federal court, they were deciding not to issue an easement at that time. Perhaps the most prominent and ill-founded of this of the misconceptions is that Dakota Access represents a threat to the Missouri River and those who rely upon it for drinking water. Nothing could be further from the truth. Much of the oil from the Bakken is currently being transported across the Missouri River via truck and rail transportation, modes which statistically are far more likely to experience a spill than pipelines. Perhaps even more, the greatest irony in a saga replete with ironies is that the Standing Rock have just relocated their Missouri water intake more than 70 miles downstream from this pipeline. However, There's a rail crossing that crosses 1.6 miles from their new intake that moves hundreds of thousands of barrels per day. Others have asserted that the route chosen for the pipe was indifferent to and would disrupt archaeological sites of importance. Again, this is totally contrary to the facts. Dakota Access employed dozens of cultural experts to work alongside state and tribal cultural officials to ensure that nothing of cultural, historic, or sacred significance was disturbed. Based on these experts' findings, the project undertook 140 different route changes in North Dakota alone. Indeed, the selection of the river crossing itself was largely driven by a desire to ensure the protection of cultural resources. The river crossing site for the Dakota Access Pipeline is located in an existing utility corridor, which already includes 2 pipelines, the Northern Border Natural Gas Pipeline and a high-voltage electric transmission line, both built in 1982. The easement, which has been the focus of so much public attention since this has occurred, is a simple ministerial document which was part and parcel of the river crossing permit. The easement was arbitrarily withheld by the former Assistant Secretary of Civil Works and was not received until last week. We can only speculate as to her motivation, but what is abundantly clear is that the Department of Interior, most likely senior members of the White House staff, interfered deeply and inappropriately in the waning stages of the regulatory process. Which is also clear is that I and other senior representatives of my company sat in the Department of Justice while representatives of that agency, the Army, and the Department of Interior repeatedly made factual misrepresentations about the process and their intentions. Finally, it is abundantly clear that notwithstanding the repeated public pronouncements that the Army Corps and Dakota Access had complied with all applicable requirements for construction of the pipeline, and notwithstanding two successful defenses of the permitting process in two federal courts, these agencies have made the political decision that they were not going to issue the permit or the easement at that time. Mr. Chairman, we became and we realized that even a company as large as Energy Transfer is helpless in the face of a government that will neither obey nor enforce the law. We came to realize that playing by the rules can account for little, and we came to realize that good faith efforts to accommodate with the many different stakeholders involved can be a fool's errand when political motivation overrides the law. I suggest, and as I indicated, the easement was withheld by the politically appointed assistant secretary was the sole remaining administrative step needed for completion of the project. This $3.8 billion, 1,172-mile pipeline had already received all other necessary federal, state, and local permits, as well as all the rights-of-way needed for completion. All this was accomplished in a two-year period. I would respectfully submit that a project of this size does not receive those approvals in the time frame unless it places heavy emphasis on cultural and social concerns, is sensitive to diversity, and gives great deference to the environment. With that, sir, I thank you for your time, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you. Thanks,